Program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Brian Halligan, CEO of HubSpot, and he's the co-author of two really excellent books, Inbound Marketing, which he wrote with his partner, Dharma Shaw, and Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead, which he wrote with our friend, David Meerman Scott. Brian, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Really appreciate it.
It's been a while. Your publicist and my friend Mark Fortier sent me Inbound Marketing a while ago, and it's been on my to-read list, but if you know Mr. Fortier, he sends me usually like a book a week.
Okay.
And I try to read a book a week, but it's not as easy as it used to be.
So, for sure.
But you and Dharmesh, let's get some background on you first. I don't want to talk about HubSpot.
Okay. So I spent most of my career in sales and marketing, and then I went back to business school for a while. That's where I met Dharmesh at MIT. And when I finished business school, I was a venture capitalist. And my job as a venture capitalist was to help really small and medium-sized companies think about, you know, how do they grow their business? How do they go from being a little tiny company to being a big, giant business someday? And that's where sort of the ball got rolling on all this thinking around inbound marketing. There was a couple things that really influenced me, Mark. First thing that influenced me is I would ask these entrepreneurs and the marketing folks in these small companies, you know, what's your plan for growing your business? And everyone kind of had the same playbook. They were doing trade shows, lots of email blasts, some cold calling, seminars, things like that, lots and lots of advertising, trying to interrupt their way into people's life. And what I noticed was that all those tools and techniques, all the things that I had grown up through my old career that really worked for me, just seemed to be working less and less well over time as people kind of, we've all become kind of allergic to marketing. We've become sort of immune to the traditional rules of marketing. So if you're trying to cold call someone, they use caller ID now and block you out. If you try to email someone, everyone's got spam protection. If you try to advertise to someone on television, for example, we all have DVRs. That the old rules of marketing just seem to be broken. So that was sort of the first observation I had. Making sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay. While I was sort of swimming around in all this negativity, trying to help these companies grow, Dharmesh, who is still at MIT studying, he started a little blog, and his blog was called OnStartups.com. And he didn't have any money, and he didn't have any staff. And he only spent like 3 or 4 hours a week on his blog. He'd write 2 or 3 articles a week. And he had 10 times the interest in his little blog than most of these relatively wealthy venture-backed startups with staffs and all this stuff. And I said to him, you know, what the heck are you doing over there? How do you get so much interest in your blog? And it turns out he was tapping into sort of the modern way in which kind of humans shop and learn. He was very clever about how he optimized his content for Google. Really clever about how we use early social media sites to pull people in, and pretty clever about how we leverage the blogosphere to pull people in. And so we kind of came to the conclusion the traditional way of doing marketing, sort of interruption-based outbound marketing, was fundamentally broken, and the new way to do marketing was this modern inbound marketing, sort of tap into the modern way in which people shop and learn and pull them in the natural course of the way they do their daily lives. So that's how we kind of get the ball rolling on all this stuff.
Okay, so from when did Dharmesh start his blog?
Sometime in 2005.
Okay. So how did HubSpot evolve out of this?
Yes, great question. So I was very taken by my own idea, breathing my own exhaust on this inbound marketing idea, and I was evangelizing it everywhere I could, particularly within the venture-backed software companies that I was trying to help grow, and they all kind of bought the idea. It's like, yes, Brian, we agree, email marketing doesn't work, cold calls don't work, no one goes to trade shows, it's broken, help us fix it. And in the process of trying to help people fix it, man, it got complicated. So we'd try to help them hire an SEO consultant to optimize their website, and then we'd help them with social media tools, and then we'd help them set up a blog, and then we'd help them set up marketing analytics and drip marketing. And by the time we were done, we had a massive science project on our hand that was very complicated and very expensive. And that's where we saw the problem, is companies did want to transform the way they market to match the way kind of humans shop and learn, but just the knowledge and the tools were really terrible to try to do that. So we built sort of a simple, modern marketing system to help people make that transformation.
Okay.
And that became HubSpot, essentially.
Okay. So, and HubSpot started when?
Just about 4 years ago, in 2006, summer 2006.
Okay. And since that time, you have really accumulated a decent client base, a really good following. Is Dharmesh still doing the blog on startups?
Yep, he does on startups, and we both work on HubSpot's blog. Blog.hubspot.com is actually more popular than on startups now. The interesting thing about on startups is he spends even less time on it now. It's his sort of hobby on the side. And what we write about on startups is what we've learned as we've built HubSpot from, you know, the two of us to, I think we have 180, 190 people now, from no customers to 3,000 some odd customers, and all the mistakes we've made along the way, talking about venture financing, hiring people, firing people, all the sort of trials and tribulations of an early stage startup. That's what's on startups. On blog.hubspot.com, it's all about marketing. How can you leverage the internet to grow your business?
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. When I decided that I really wanted to do the interview with you, I did some research on you and Dharma through my favorite site, which is LinkedIn.
Okay.
Do you know Steve White?
I do.
Dharmesh does.
Yeah, I know the name. What's his name?
He's a VC in Boston, but the interesting thing, I met Steve when he was the publisher. He used to work for IDG, he used to work for Pat McGovern, and he was a publisher of Federal Computer Week back in the 80s.
I see.
So we had this very tenuous thing, because I'm not sure, I know Dharmesh is connected to him, I thought maybe you were too, so...
Isn't he involved with Xconomy up here?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's how we know him. He's covered a bunch of stuff we've done on Xconomy, which is an interesting new magazine up here. But I know him a little bit, not very well.
Okay. It's just one of those things where the ties, especially through a network like LinkedIn, which we'll get to when we talk about inbound marketing, really come to pay off, because I haven't seen Steve probably in 15 years.
Oh, I see.
but we communicate via rumor, innuendo, and LinkedIn.
I see.
Semi-monitor activity of one
another. What's interesting about all these technologies is if it were 20, 30 years ago, you probably would have lost touch with Steve White, and you maybe would have forgotten the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the internet is it allows you to keep all these loose connections with people and kind of keep the ball rolling. So you've still got your 50 close friends, but you've also got another 1,000 sort of loose connections, whereas if you were living 20 years ago, you'd have 50 close friends, but those loose connections would have gone, because you don't have a permanent record of them in LinkedIn or Facebook or their email address, because as they move, they change their phone number, they didn't have a cell phone. It's so interesting how the communications technology has fundamentally changed the way social interactions work, and your personal network and your professional work network really has changed a lot just since my dad grew up in his career versus me.
Well, yeah, and I got an email 2 weeks ago from a guy that I was communicating with regularly in the 90s, and we had not. You know, I barely remembered this guy, but when he mentioned the company, I remembered it and then triggered his name as well. But he found me through LinkedIn.
I think.
So, and, you know, his company now has an interest in government, so now he wants to talk. So it works.
Yeah. So. And it's akin to, like, when the highway system got really funded and got good quality, it really changed the way the dynamics of families work and friendships and networks work. It used to be all your friends were in one locality. Then once the highway system was built, Yeah, it really changed. You get friends all over the country, you're mailing people letters, you're going to visit them. The internet's had just an even more dramatic part. So it's almost like the postal service very early in the American government, and then the highway system, and then the train system, the airlines, and now the internet, each of them just increasingly changing sort of the dynamics of how society works and how friendships happen and how families communicate. And the internet, the latest one, is just fascinating. How you got a permanent cell phone, you got a permanent email, a permanent Facebook, a permanent LinkedIn, and you really never lose touch with anyone that you've ever had any kind of a friendship with throughout your entire life now. It's absolutely fascinating how that's changed.
It is. My guest today is Brian Halligan. Brian is the CEO of HubSpot and the co-author of Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead and Inbound Marketing, which we'll be talking about after the break. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Without an effective estate plan, your hard-earned wealth will end up in the hands of the government, and a will is no protection. At Zell Law, our estate planning lawyers take the time to listen and understand you and your goals and figure out what you want to achieve. Then we work with you to create a customized estate plan that helps you and your family realize your dreams of wealth and freedom. Find out how we do this by joining me, Wayne Zell, Saturdays at 10 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth on 1500 AM Federal News Radio.
Which agency has the best gym? Federal News Radio is now accepting your nominations as part of our Best of the Federal Government series. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best Of. Be sure to check back throughout the summer. We'll have other fun categories for you to vote on, like which agency has the best overall location, which has the best parking or transportation options, who's the best dressed Fed you know. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best Of.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The height of irresponsibility, that's what the Pentagon says about WikiLeaks' decision to release another 15,000 documents related to the war in Afghanistan. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says, quote, there are very serious operational consequences. He says there are names of a lot of Afghans who've worked with the U.S. in those documents. He added the documents contain a significant amount of information about U.S. tactics, techniques, and procedures, including places where they're vulnerable. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money. Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Airink comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Brian Halligan, CEO of HubSpot. You can find Brian, and I suggest you do so, at HubSpot, HubSpot.com. There is a ton of cool information there. There's what, about 40 case studies there, Brian?
Something like that, yeah. Lots of case studies. Probably the coolest thing on there is Website Grader. Have you played with that yet?
Not yet.
I recommend everyone check it out. If you go to HubSpot or you can go directly to WebsiteGrader, GRADER.com, and you put in your URL into that thing, and it gives you a score of 1 to 100 on kind of how much mojo you have on the Internet, and then it gives you a four-page report on what you need to do to fix it. That's probably the funnest thing we've got on our site that I recommend everyone check out.
WebsiteGrader.com. Is that a free service?
It's free. It's WebsiteGrader.com.
Dude. Great. All right, let's talk a little bit about inbound marketing. Get found using Google, social media, and blogs. It's by you and your partner, Dharmesh Shah. Why the book?
Okay.
Let's start at a slightly different spot.
Sure.
Inbound marketing is a phrase that you guys came up with.
It is a phrase we came up with. It's funny, we came up with outbound marketing first and then inbound marketing, and we weren't sure if we should call it that or we should call it pull versus push marketing. But anyway, inbound marketing just stuck in our heads, so we kept calling it inbound marketing, and we ended up writing a book about it.
Okay. So
I think what's interesting about the internet and inbound marketing in general is the nice thing about the internet is it opens you up to so many potential customers, but it also opens you up to lots of potential competitors. So the best thing you can do on the internet is to kind of, you know, make your own marketplace, essentially. Create your own boundaries around your business and kind of create a category. So that's what we tried to do with inbound marketing. Rather than settling into the internet marketing category where it's very noisy and hard to stand out, we said, well, let's come up with our own category with our own boundaries around it. And when you come up with something unique on the internet, boy, does it spread quickly. The internet's just a great place to market yourself. And so we decided to do it that way rather than jump into another sort of crowded market, create our own market.
Well, it's only going to happen if you're adding value by creating a niche, and obviously you did. And I don't know how long I've been a member, but Inbound Marketing is also a group that Dharmesh started on LinkedIn.
Right.
And it's I'm in the middle. I started a discussion there last week, and we're up to about 32 comments on it. And you'll love this because it ties right in. The discussion thread started with a question that said, does your company have a social media strategy?
Mm.
Boom. And it's one of those ones, finally, that resonated. So let's get into the social media strategy via inbound marketing. Your website is your hub. I found that interesting because most websites tend to be stagnant. So start there and build out, please.
Okay, sure. I'm a big analogy guy, so I'll throw a couple analogies at you. 99% of websites are, I call it, it's like a billboard in the desert. It's beautiful. Your cousin designed it, and it just looks fantastic. But it's sitting there in the desert, and ain't nobody driving by. Your mother's very pleased, but that's about it. What you want your website to be, I'll give you another analogy. I'm doing this call today from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and you want your website to be more like New York City than Cambridge, Massachusetts. And what I mean by that is in Cambridge, we have one highway that comes through our lovely city here. We have no airports, no real train station, no bus station. Compare that with New York City. New York City's got a ton of highways coming in and out of it, three huge airports, two big train stations, and a huge bus station. And think about it this way. Those highways coming in and out of New York City, those are like links from other websites and blogs. The bus stations like Twitter, the train stations like Facebook, the airports like LinkedIn. You want your website to be a hub on the internet. You want as many people as possible linking to you. You want to rethink your website from being this billboard in the desert, sort of like Cambridge, Massachusetts, and make it more like New York City. So that's sort of the idea. That's where we came up with the term HubSpot. We want to help you turn your website into a hub. And that's sort of how we can talk later in the show about how you go about turning it into a hub. But that's the basic idea.
We're definitely going to get there, but we got two books to go through first. You know, the spot chapter right after. I keep saying spot now. The chapter right after the website spot is the worthy, you know, and that brought to mind the, you know, Mike Myers Saturday Night Live gig, Are You Worthy? What do you mean by that?
It's a little bit like I was talking about before. If you're saying something unique and remarkable, I use the word remarkable. I stole that word from Seth Godin. What you want is to have content on your site or you want your product to be in some way, shape, or form remarkable. And that's just the perfect word for it because what you want are other website owners, social media users, bloggers to remark about what's going on your website. To turn your website into one of these hubs, the best thing you can do is think like a publisher. So create as much terrific, remarkable content as you can, and each piece of content you create in your site becomes like a mini magnet that pulls in potential customers through links, through social media, through Google, et cetera, et cetera. So, for example, today you write your first blog article. It's a terrific article, and 10 people link to it. Those links into your site send you potential customers, traffic. Those links signal to Google that you're important, so that article will rank. And so that's interesting. You've written something that's going to be around for a long, long time. Then you do the same thing again on Friday. Do it next Wednesday, next Friday. And over the course of 2 or 3 years, you've built up this army, this arsenal, this asset that's just pulling customers in a very scalable way because it never goes away. So each piece of content you create, each article, each webinar, whatever you're doing, is like a mini magnet that never goes away for customers. So the longer you do it, the more leverage you end up getting.
You know,
that's the basic idea of it.
Do you know Bob Bly by any chance?
I do not.
Okay, do you know who he is?
Okay.
Robert W. Bly is a copywriter. He's got about 76 books out. He writes for, you know, probably 15 different publications every year. But he's got the ugliest website in the world, Bly.com, B-L-Y.com. But what he has there are links to virtually every article he's written over the last 20 years. So
it's a treasure trove.
It is.
In so. Most websites, you were asking about this earlier, they're like brochure. It's like a brochure. So when you, the first websites that were built, you had a great brochure that you brought to your trade show and you handed out. The early brochures, somebody took that piece of paper and gave it to their cousin, who's a website designer, who turned it into what I call a brochureware website. It's essentially a brochure. And the idea of a website's really changed. So instead of having this flat, you know, piece of paper on the internet that's one to many, what you want is this living, breathing hub on the internet with tons of content on it that people can subscribe to that content by email, by RSS. And you want to think of your website not just of that stuff on your domain, but think much more broadly. Your website's what's happening to you on Twitter, what's happening on Facebook, your rankings on Google, on Bing. You should have a much broader concept of your website, and you should spend maybe 20% of your time thinking about the stuff happening on your domain, and 80% of your time worrying about what's happening in Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, Blogosphere, all that other stuff. That's your new concept of a website.
Okay, and oddly enough, you know, blog, Google, and social media right behind that. So how do you raise your rankings in Google?
Okay. First things first is content. So there's a bunch of little simple things you can do that will get you a 10 or 20% lift in Google in terms of traffic. So, for example, when Google visits a page, there's a bunch of little ticky-tack things you can do to those pages to improve Google's understanding of what you're trying to convey on that page. And Google looks at every page on your site as sort of they don't look at your site so much anymore, they almost look at every page individually. So that's like the 10 to 20% lift. If you go to websitegrader.com, you can get some sense for how that would work and what changes you can make. If you want to get 3, 4, 5 times more traffic to your website through Google, the way you do that is create great content. And whether that's you're comfortable writing a blog once or twice a week, or you want to do a podcast, or you want to do ebooks, that's the way you really crank. Google loves lots and lots of content, loves fresh content, and the more content you've got in Google's cache, with the more links into that content because it's interesting, the more you're going to rank. Google likes lots of content, fresh content, good content that people are linking into. So think like a publisher. Create tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of great, remarkable, interesting content.
Cool. My guest today is Brian Halligan. Brian is the CEO of HubSpot, co-author of Inbound Marketing and Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead. When we come back, we're going to migrate to Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead. And for those of you who've listened to the show previously, you'll know that David Meerman Scott was on here about a month ago talking about the book. But the difference between that interview and this interview is I didn't have the book when David and I did the interview. The book wasn't out yet. I have the book. I've read the book. The book is just dynamite. So when we come back, that's where Brian and I are going. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Human Capital Solutions Report provided by Aon Consulting.
With anticipated labor shortages, agencies need to hire staff while reducing recruitment costs. Aon's recruitment solutions help agencies reduce recruitment spend and time to fill by more than 50% and improve hiring manager satisfaction by more than 75%. Aon processed over 100,000 applicants for an agency and hired in excess of 1,700 diverse employees. The agency benefited with new hires that were more successful during training and better matched to the job.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
Here's Pat Howard, Chief Information Security Officer, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by HP.
I'd say speed and agility is top of my list. The nature of our adversary requires us to be faster and think a lot quicker and be more responsive than we are today.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Everybody's selling cybersecurity these days, and it's all about fear and drama. HP believes cybersecurity isn't about fear. It's about managing threats while achieving your objectives. Every day, HP helps clients achieve their missions with confidence. Take the fear out of cyber threats and enable your organization to thrive in an uncertain environment. Visit HP at hp.com/go/cybersecurity. Outcomes that matter. Copyright 2010 Hewlett-Packard Development Company, LP.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Ugh, would you look at this bill?
Tired of paying way too much to your alarm company and not getting real security service? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has more than 40 years of industry-leading experience and was recently named Dealer of the Year out of over 30,000 companies. Ackerman has its own UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Put simply, with Ackerman Security Systems, you get the most qualified professionals in the industry monitoring your home for just $18.95 a month. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. So whether you want a new system or want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Brian Halligan, CEO of HubSpot and co-author of perhaps my newest favorite book, Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead, What Every Business Can Learn from the Most Iconic Band in History. You and David met when you had read, like, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other people, New Rules of Marketing and PR, when it came out in 07. David's not far from you. You're both in the Boston area. So you invited him over to your office one day. And when he came in, apparently on the back of his laptop, there was what?
That's exactly right. He opened his laptop and he had a Grateful Dead Steal Your Face sticker on there. So before we started talking about HubSpot and marketing and the new rules of marketing, we got into a long conversation about the Grateful Dead. And so if you think about our Venn diagrams of what we like, we've got this big, big Grateful Dead circle overlapping with this big marketing circle. And we really hit it off. And he's one of my best friends now. And it took us a while to get there, but we eventually wrote a book about that intersection on the Venn diagram.
Yeah, and I'll endorse that. David and I have known each other via phone interviews, emails, blogs, etc. for about 3 years. He was finally in the studio for that interview a month ago, and just tremendously nice man.
Yes, great guy. We have something else in common, too. Ironically, the two of us lived in Asia. I lived in Japan for a long time, in Hong Kong, as did he, and we were there at the same time. So we have he's like my long-lost brother.
Well, there we go. But, most people think, Grateful Dead, you see the micro bus, with the flowers on the side driving around these giant caravans, a Dead concert's going on somewhere. But, they took the concept that you have in Inbound to a radically different level. They created a new category for how music occurs.
They sure did. They were kind of the world's first inbound marketers. They were really clever in ways, in lots and lots of ways, and that's what we wrote about in the book. We picked 19 different ways in which we thought they were interesting and remarkable and ahead of their time. We wrote about that, and then we put a little case study about a modern company that's either copying them or doing something similar. The thing that I think most remarkable about what they did was their business model. So, like, what I noticed in businesses today, we have 3,000 customers at HubSpot. In so many businesses today are me too. They sound so much like their competition. They're in red oceans of just getting highly commoditized, and they're just not differentiated enough. The Grateful Dead differentiated their business model in an interesting way. Every other band at the time, let's say the Rolling Stones or the Who or the Beatles, the main source of revenue for them was the album, and the concert was basically an advertisement for the album. The Grateful Dead sort of flipped that assumption on its head and said, we're going to make our money on the concerts, and the albums will be there, and that'll be interesting too, but it'll be different. Because they made that decision, a whole bunch of stuff happened around that. One is their concerts were all unique. If you saw the Rolling Stones three nights in a row, note for note, it was essentially the same concert. If you saw the Grateful Dead three nights in a row, they were wildly different. Different set lists, very improvisational, very interesting. So there was a strong incentive for knuckleheads like me to follow them around the country and see them night after night, helping their concert as business model approach.
How many concerts have you been to?
Probably been to 110 concerts.
Okay.
Yeah, been to a lot. Another thing they did that was very interesting was they allowed their fans to bring a tape recorder into the concert and record the concert and then spread it to their friends, which is the exact opposite of what any other band would do because they were afraid it would dampen record sales. And the Dead didn't care as much about the record sales. So what would happen is the guy who lived in the dorm room next to me in college, he was a taper. He would go to the shows and tape. He would make me a copy. I would be in my dorm room, have a party, and be blasting the tape. And I would be exposing their music to tons and tons of other people. By exposing all those people, each tape that was made and each concert was made was kind of like the content I talked about in the earlier segment that a business should create. They created all this leverage that pulled in more customers into their concert. So they played 2,300 concerts. So that's a whole bunch of people taping lots and lots of shows. And the more people who came to the concert and taped, the more recordings were made, the more people it got exposed to. So there's this real leverage that built up in their model. And they really were the first inbound marketers. And that's what businesses should do today. Create tons of content. That content is like leverage, and it will pull in fans, just like the Grateful Dead. It'll pull in customers for your business.
Let me ask two quick questions.
Sure.
How many number one hits did the Grateful Dead have?
They had one.
They had one. Yeah. And how many bands over the course of their lifetime made more money than the Grateful Dead?
I don't know the answer to that question. They were the number one ever grossing tour of all time. They made more money from concerts than any other band.
Right. Yeah. And built a sustainable business model that went on for three decades.
Yeah, still going on. I mean,
well, four decades. Okay.
Yeah, they're still cranking away. I saw them. I was on tour with them last week, actually.
Yeah, you that's the other cool thing about this. You and David took the book out, and you're touring with the Dead.
We sure are. That was a heck of a lot of fun. We got to meet Billy Kreutzmann and Bob Weir, a couple of the members, and got to go backstage for a very brief, very, very brief time. I lived like a rock star.
Well, it's the same thing, David. This has to be, like, you know, the dream come true. So.
It's been great. By the way, living like a rock star is slightly overrated.
I'd have to imagine that it would be. You know, it's just like living in a fishbowl.
Yes, and you're constantly on the road, and, yeah, it's not that great.
Yeah, it's like speaking three times in one week. You're on a plane more than you're doing anything else.
Yeah, Not
my idea of a good time, but I do it when I'm paid.
Yeah.
So there we go. Now, one other thing that I really want to get into here, you touched on it with the allowing fans to record, but they had sort of an overall inclusiveness model that evolved with Deadheads. What are the elements of that?
They sure did. This is very interesting. When they first started, they were Ken Kesey's house band, and Ken Kesey's a famous guy from the 60s who had these acid test parties. parties where everyone who showed up for the party, he would make LSD or acid for them. Everyone was on acid. And the Grateful Dead were his house band for those parties. So the parties would happen, the Dead would play during the party. Now, what King Kesey insisted everyone do is they not just sit back and watch the Dead, but that everyone should become part of the entertainment and everyone would become part of the show. So everyone showed up in crazy costumes with crazy instruments and did lighting and just funky stuff. And so it wasn't just about the band, it's the crowd became part of the show. And that continues today. Like, I was at the Grateful Dead last week. The crowd is like a circus atmosphere. It's the closest thing you can get to a circus with people in crazy costumes, people on stilts, very interesting dancing, very interesting things being sold in the parking lot. There's this whole community that they've evolved around them. That's almost half the fun of going to see the concert is checking out the circus act around the show.
The Mall of the Dead, yeah.
Yeah, they've been very clever about how they fostered that and encouraged it over time. And I think modern businesses can do that. Like, how do you leverage Facebook and Twitter and your blogosphere, and how do you become much more transparent and authentic, and how do you encourage your community to get involved and to stay involved and to follow you? And if you're building interesting products, you're giving them remarkable content, if you're transparent, you're authentic like the Dead, yeah, you can really build up a following for your business and really grow.
Cool. I want to get into that in the next segment, so we'll cut here and come back. My guest is Brian Halligan. Brian is the CEO of HubSpot. You can find them at HubSpot.com. He's also the co-author of Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead and Inbound Marketing, both excellent, excellent books. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more.
This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to Cha Phra Ya Thai in Herndon, offering the finest Thai cuisine and warm hospitality.
Done Right Catering, unique menus that are tailored to each customer. Life's a party, make sure it's done right. And Waggle Golf Pass, a book containing huge golf deals throughout the D.C. metro area.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hey, I got you one of those new Cantina tacos from Taco Bell.
Thanks. Ooh, what's with the lime?
Do not be alarmed by my presence in your Cantina taco. It is true. I am the lime. And within this corn tortilla lies a world all its own. For inside, you will be greeted by marinara steak, diced onions, and fresh cilantro. And it is my duty to introduce worthy guests to such flavors. Because I am the lime. And I connect the fabulous with the fabulous. And, oh, you're already squeezing. I thought we could talk more, but I see you got the idea. It is our finest taco ever. The new Cantina Taco from Taco Bell. Think outside the bun. At participating locations for a limited time only.
Put away your late night hunger with Taco Bell's fourth meal. All the crunchy, spicy, cheesy, and grilled tastes you crave after dark. Only at Taco Bell. Think outside the bun. Taco Bell is open till 1 a.m. or later. Hours may vary by location.
You probably know a neighbor, a coworker, or even a relative who's training right now for the Marine Corps Marathon. It's time for you to get off the sidelines and into the action, working alongside the proud men and women of the United States Marine Corps. Volunteer for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend from October 29th to the 31st. Support is needed at the Kids Run, on course, and at the finish with specialized medical and massage therapy volunteers requested. Sign up to volunteer as an individual or a group for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend in Arlington, Virginia. Call 1-800-RUN-USMC or visit marinemarathon.com.
The Federal Drive has a new sound. Tom Temin is joined by Amy Morris weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy cover the activities important to federal managers: HR, program management, budgeting, acquisition. The Federal Drive delivers fast-moving, crisp, insightful interviews good for busy feds dealing with political change. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Brian Halligan. Brian is the CEO of HubSpot, and you can find him at HubSpot.com. Brian, we've talked about the book's Inbound Marketing and Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead. Let's take this to small and medium-sized businesses who really need to leverage inbound marketing. So do you have some sequential tips that you can offer businesses, you know, selling in any market? But, you know, if we can focus on B2B, we can leverage that to B2G.
Sure. Even before I get into that, you mentioned small business. The nice thing I like about all this internet marketing, inbound marketing stuff, is the internet disproportionately benefits little guys relative to big guys. We focus on small businesses here at HubSpot, because the internet doesn't care if you're ESPN or you're GE or you're Nike. If you've got an interesting product and it's in some way, shape, remarkable, and you're creating interesting content, boy, does it spread quickly. And my favorite cartoon ever is a New Yorker cartoon where there's a dog on a computer typing away, and there's another dog over his shoulder watching them. And the dog on the computer turns to him and says, "The great thing about the internet is nobody knows you're a dog." And it's very no one knows you're a tiny federal contractor in Vienna, Virginia. They don't care if you're creating interesting content, you can pull people in. The other thing I like about it for small businesses is your success is very much a function of the width of your brain, not the width of your wallet. Traditionally, if you want to spread your word, you got to spend a boatload of money on PR and a boatload of money on advertising. Inbound marketing is cheap. I mean, you don't have to, if you're smart and clever, boy, you can spread the word. You don't need a lot of money to do it. That's one of the things I really like for small business. But anyway, you want me to
Yeah, let's start with the website. First of all,
sure.
you reference this as the hub.
Yep.
What does it really need, and then how do you develop the spokes?
Sure. So I have kind of a recipe for success. You probably already gathered that step one in the recipe is create tons of content. Start a blog, start doing podcasting, start videos, whatever it would be, whatever you're comfortable with. That's kind of step one, lots of content. Step two is you've got to get reasonably good at optimizing that content. And traditionally, you're optimizing content for Google, but nowadays, you have to optimize it for social media, too. And by optimizing it, pretty much I'm talking about the title, let's say, if you're writing a blog article. Make sure you include a word or two that are interesting to Google that matches what you're trying to sell to give Google a signal of what you're trying to pull people in around. And then your title should be catchy in some way. Top 10 reasons the federal government purchasing system is completely broken, for example, might be a good article. People are just inundated with information through their RSS readers, through Twitter, through Facebook, whatever. So you have to write interesting, catchy titles to pull people. So step one is content. Step two is optimization.
Okay.
Step three is you need to get pretty good at kind of pimping your content, Mark, through Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube. You have to start pushing content out there, engaging in the conversation out there, and you can start to build up some real leverage. So let's say today you start your blog and you've got 10 Twitter followers and 15 Facebook fans and 4 people that are following you in your LinkedIn group. If you're creating interesting content and you're engaging in the communications and the dialogue online, let's say it's a year from now and you're pushing out a blog article, instead of pushing out that blog article to 10 Twitter followers and 5 Facebook fans and 4 LinkedIn group members, you should at that point have 5,000 Twitter followers, maybe 1,000 Facebook fans, and maybe 1,000 LinkedIn group members. You're just building this leverage. Similar to the content leverage, this is a people-following leverage. So you got to get good at that. That's step three. Those are all ways to pull people into the top of your funnel. Once you've got them to your website, you need to give them something that they want to pull them in and make them a lead, a B2G or B2B lead. So give them a free offer. Offer them a kit about your industry that includes a video and includes a white paper, let's say, or offer them a free 30-minute consultation or offer them free training over the Internet, whatever it would be, give them something they want to try to get the conversion rate of visitors to leads that you can follow up with very high. That's step four. Step five is once you got those leads, they're like gold. You want to nurture them, do some drip marketing to them via email, via Twitter, via Facebook. That's sort of step five. And then the last step is really start to measure all this stuff. How many visitors am I getting, for example, through Google? Which keywords are they using to find me? What can I do to improve my ranking for those keywords? How many leads am I getting from those keywords? How many customers are I getting? And do the same thing sort of for each channel into your market, through Google, through Twitter, through Facebook, LinkedIn, email, and really get sophisticated about your funnel. So that's sort of my elegant six-step recipe to build an inbound marketing machine, essentially.
Okay, now, without getting too commercial here, how does HubSpot help companies in this particular area?
Sure. We built a software product called HubSpot, clever name, that basically walks people through how to set all this stuff up. So we set up the technology for them, and then someone like me, you know, maybe a little bit junior version of someone like me, who we went to school with typically, will come and spend 4, 6, 8 hours with you on the phone teaching you all this stuff, getting the stuff from our head into your head, and helping you transform your business from sort of an interesting business to one that's got this very dynamic inbound marketing machine as part of it that's your growth engine. So it's mostly software to help you automate all this stuff, but it's also some consulting and training to help you get your head around it and get the ball rolling.
Yeah, the consulting side has to be there, but you know, if it's anything like some of the companies that I deal with, sometimes it's like talking to a pet rock.
It is. We try to hire geeks. We're a company full of geeks, a lot of MIT geeks who just love inbound marketing, love the web, love Twitter. We typically hire people. Like, part of my interview criteria is an inbound marketing quiz where I ask them questions about how does Google work, how does Twitter work, how does Facebook work, what's your following, what's your blog, all that kind of stuff. And so we tend to only hire geeks that try to help mere mortals. So our target customer, we call them mere mortals. They're people who are normal people who aren't geeked out about the Internet, and we teach them all this stuff. It's really not that hard, but it takes a little hand-holding.
Yeah, it always takes a little hand-holding. Otherwise, they'd be out there doing it already.
Yeah.
Let me migrate back a bit. Dharmesh started the inbound marketing group on LinkedIn several years ago. And it is certainly one of the largest marketing groups on LinkedIn. Have you ever measured how much traffic you guys have gotten out of that? How many prospects that you've converted?
We have. We as part of HubSpot, we have an analytics tool that looks at how many visitors do we get from there, how many leads, and how many customers we got from there. Mm-hmm. I personally haven't looked at that in 6 months or so, but I remember it being one of our top sources of customers. Is people in there are engrossed in the conversation. We're in there in the conversation, and they end up somehow on our site reading some white paper or blog article, and then they end up buying our product. So it's been a pretty good source. That's a secret that people don't know about, is you should set up your personal LinkedIn profile, of course, but you can set up these LinkedIn groups. And what he did that was smart about our LinkedIn group was the name of it is Inbound Marketers. He didn't call it HubSpot. No one actually wants to help you promote your business, and no one wants to engage in a conversation with a vendor. But if you call it something neutral, like Inbound Marketers, people are much more likely. The other thing you want to do is when people join a LinkedIn group, what they really want is that damn badge on their site. So when you're on LinkedIn, you see people have those badges.
Yep.
You want the badge to say something cool that people want. It's like a bumper sticker. So you want it to say, you know, top marketers or top government contractors, whatever it be, that people want to show off that they're part of that group. So those are a couple things that I think he did right. And the nice thing about these LinkedIn groups is you can email out of the LinkedIn group to all the members once a week. So it's a secret in marketing that a lot of people aren't using effectively.
I've done the same thing. I have my Government Market Master group on LinkedIn, but what
right.
I've done also is create not only subgroups, but sister groups that are tangential to it. So, you know,
Government Market Master is a brilliant name. I can imagine lots of people wanting to have that badge on their or bumper sticker on their LinkedIn profile.
I certainly hope so. I'm wearing a golf shirt with a logo on it right now, so maybe we'll start selling those bad boys. Brian, this has been absolutely wonderful. Let me suggest to everybody listening, Inbound Marketing, that he wrote with Dharmesh Shaw, and Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead, both just excellent books. Brian, greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest has been Brian Halligan, CEO of HubSpot, and you can find Brian at HubSpot.com. And don't forget, go to WebsiteGrader.com and see how your website ranks up here. This is not my J job, so if you're looking for some of the most experienced marketing advice for the government market, give me a shout. You can find me at FederalDirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center. With AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
You're an agent of change, making changes for the better in the face of shrinking budgets and expanding expectations. Amplify your agency's possibilities with unified communication solutions from Verizon that enable you to securely and reliably work where you work best, at a kitchen table or an office abroad. Change your team into a dynamic, interactive 24/7 think tank with our collaboration solutions and BlackBerry Bold smartphones, and transform smaller budgets into bigger successes. So while demands are rising and funds are declining, you can address both with powerful, global mobile voice and data solutions from Verizon. Find out how you can make your teams even more powerful and effective at verizonwireless.com/gov or by calling 1-800-293-3048. Verizon. Rule the air.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arinc.
The height of irresponsibility, that's what the Pentagon says about WikiLeaks' decision to release another 15,000 documents related to the war in Afghanistan. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says, quote, there are very serious operational consequences. He says there are names of a lot of Afghans who've worked with the U.S. in those documents. He added the documents contain a significant amount of information about U.S. tactics, techniques, and procedures, including places where they're vulnerable. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money. Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Arinc comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
So despite what our competitors keep saying, fact is, we save people so much money that over 4 million drivers switched to Geico last year.
Amazing. That's right, every person in the city of Los Angeles switching to Geico.
Wait, you got the whole city of Los Angeles to switch to Geico?
No, sir, you misunderstood.
That's incredible. Wonder if we could rename it, something like Geicoopolis.
I don't think...
Geicoopolis.
Well, it does have a nice ring to it, sir.
Join over 4 million drivers who switched when you get a free rate quote at Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT.